before the Science Guy show, I did a thing for Back to the Future cartoon show, which is not very many people have ever seen it or heard of it, but it was on for a couple seasons. And in the middle of the animated show, it would cut to the video encyclopedia with Christopher Lloyd, the guy who played Doc Brown from Back to the Future. And then it would cut to me, and I had no lines. I would just do a science demonstration that I was alleged or believed to be good at. But we had this thing where you rub a balloon on your hair, you get static electricity. So then you have another balloon hanging from a string, and you bring this balloon near it, and they're attracted. Okay. So, okay, we're going to move the lights. We're going to gaffer, run around in circles. Okay. So I'm standing there with a balloon for a couple minutes, and it's lost its zap, its charge. So when I go to do it, there's not enough pull. Okay, bring in the adhesive. Let's go. Bring in the glue. So instantly, they come running in, spray mount 77 all over the thing, and the balloons come together, and they... It doesn't look right. Visually, it does not tell the story of static electricity.
Back to the Future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more, cause there's still things to explore in Marty McFly 4. It's Marchy McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Diddly do do do. Welcome back to day 8 of Marchy McFly. Folks, sometimes you live and you learn. You heard that intro. Bill Nye, the science guy. I've talked about how Bill Nye is the silent scientist that's in all the clips for the animated series, and all the live action, like science experiment, quote unquote, clips. And golly gee, it would have made sense to play that yesterday. And it's not like I just found it today. I've had it on my desktop thinking, oh, I got to put Bill Nye there at some point. Not remembering that he was talking about static electricity. Not remembering that he was talking about the episode I did yesterday. So, okay. It's all right. We can move on from that. At least I was able to play it. So we're referencing yesterday, talking about, but we're here today talking more. Back to the Future, the animated series. I think we'll do the animated series today, tomorrow, and possibly Sunday. And then on Monday, we'll get back to the world of comics or maybe even something else. We'll see. I haven't fully decided yet. That's the beauty of going in with no real plan. It's just kind of winging it when you can. But it's Friday, and I'm getting the show out a little earlier today because I have today off, which is exciting because I just was on vacation. Then I had Monday off, had 3 days. Now I have another 3-day weekend. But, you know, when you are, even when you're home, your day goes by quick when you have the day off because I took my wife to work, brought my dog to the vet to get some dog food and drop off let's just say a sample of something Biff would know of it. And then we went for a walk, dropped off paperwork at my tax guy for the yearly taxes. Get home, it's like, oh my goodness, This is like change the sheets because that was my chore for the day. And then I'm going to pick my wife back up. Then we're picking up our friend's dog because we're dog sitting for the weekend. But I'm not taking care of my brother's dogs tonight because he has a dog sitter. So I'm off the hook there. But what are we doing? We're doing something tonight. And it would be fun if there was some sort of Back to the Future element. But I don't think there will be. Tonight, we're going back to my wife's school. And some of her students are doing a project where they made a movie trailer. I don't know if it's a horror movie trailer or something like that, a scary movie, something. And it's almost like we're going to a film festival for trailers made by, you know, junior high kids. I would love it if one of these kids did something with time travel. If they do, I will be the first to report it. And I was saying to my wife, you know, if I was running this thing, I would set up like a thing where you could take pictures in front of and get a few people to take photos like you're at a Hollywood premiere and like you're walking the red carpet. I don't think we will be walking the red carpet. We will just be walking into a middle school. And that's fine. That's fine, too. You know, it's, as long as I get to see some creativity, no matter what it is, I'm jealous that I never got to do something like this in junior high. And I had to wait until I was well into my 40s to be creative by making Back to the Future podcast for you. And speaking of which, I'm not sure I'm going to waste any more of your time. Let's get right into it, and let's talk about this two-story episode of Back to the Future, the animated series. So as I said, this is a two-story episode, not a two-part episode where it breaks off into two episodes. No. This is like you'd see in a lot of cartoons growing up where in the 23-minute span or 22-minute span, they would fit two stories in. And that's exactly what we did here with this episode. The main part, the main story, is called Time Waits for No Frog. And that is considered the seventh episode overall of the animated series. The second part, it just calls it the second segment, but I feel like these are just two segments because I think this second part was shorter, but it wasn't like that much. It wasn't like a 10-second thing. That's called Einstein's Adventure. So we're going to talk about both of them because they're easy enough to talk about both of them. So this episode opens up in Doc Brown's lab, but we don't get Doc Brown because he's invisible. And I wonder if they just couldn't, I don't know if they couldn't figure out how to get Christopher Lloyd, so they just got a voiceover, or I don't know if they just, it doesn't really matter. He's been working on some sort of skin ointment and to cure his warts. And unfortunately, this cure made him invisible. So that reminds him, he also shows a tennis shoe, and he reminds him of a time he tried to cure Marty's athlete's foot, and that brought them on an adventure. Of course it did. And now we cut over to, you think, athlete's foot, frogs, what the hell is this adventure going to be? Let's find out as we jump over to the Brown family farm. We get some of the credits. This episode was written by Chad MacGillivray. Sure. And John Loy and John Luden. It actually says MacGillivray and John Loy and John Luden, almost like MacGillivray, Cliff MacGillivray, and John Loy are a team, and John Luden helped them. As I said, it's the seventh episode of the animated series. It originally debuted November 2nd, 1991. That would be one day before my brother's 18th birthday. And it is directed by Phil Robinson. And before we go any further talking about this episode, I want to tell you about the power of podcast editing. Yes, folks, just now, right after I said the director's name, I stopped recording, and that was probably 8-9 hours ago. Right now, it's well past 9 p.m. I went to the film festival. Remember, I talked about that earlier. I went to a horror movie trailer film festival at my wife's school for her 8th grade class. It was part of this art project they were doing. They were getting graded on, and they did a wonderful job. And I talked about if I ran something like this, I would have a red carpet and paparazzi. We walked into the school, took a left, and in the hallway, there was a red carpet, and there were kids with cameras pretending to be paparazzi. It was perfect. There was soda and popcorn and candy, and there was a raffle. And guess what? I won something in the raffle, my first ever Funko Pop. I won a Michael Myers Funko Pop. Yes, there was a Pennywise and a Michael Myers. Since my wife works there, I had her go get the gift, like go up because she knows everybody. And I was like, oh my God, they won. And then she brought it back. I go, you brought back the wrong one. This is Pennywise. I won Michael Myers. Let me go fix it. So I got the right one. I didn't want to take the wrong one from someone else who would win the Pennywise one. But I just love that this junior high, this middle school, they had Pennywise dolls and Michael Myers dolls, and all the movies were horror themed, but they were all, you know, lighthearted, fun. The whole thing was pretty fun, and the whole night was great, and it was just, you know, capped off by a wonderful prize that I will cherish for the rest of my life. Okay, now, let's get back to the cartoon. It picks up once we get to the animated part. You know, we saw Doc being invisible. It picks up with Marty hanging upside down. Why is he hanging upside down? Because he's strapped into some incredibly complicated, complex machine that is rubbing Marty's bare feet because Marty has athlete's foot. I said that they have to travel back for some cure for athlete's foot. This whole episode, this whole story part of the episode, the whole premise is wrapped around the fact that Marty has athlete's foot. You'd think he could just go to the store and get a little tough acting tenactin. Isn't it tough actin tenactin? You spray it on your feet. I don't know. I've never got athlete's foot. I think my friend did, but we called it swamp foot. So I don't know exactly what it is, if it's the same thing or not. But he is, they're trying all these different things and it's not working. And Doc figured out that there's something that he does know that could cure this if they take a trip. And Marty's like, sure, let's take a trip. He's dressed all in like Hawaiian gear, like they're going to, you know, some beach or something. But instead, they go all the way to Peru in the 1500s. In fact, the exact year is 1532. It says Peru in the description on, I think on the wiki, but all he says is they're in the Amazon. Amazon 1532. And this is when things get a little weird, a little dicey, a little racist, and we finally get some death back in our cartoon, which we were missing. We see some animals. We see, the big thing, we see some animals like in the jungle as they're flying through in the DeLorean. But the big thing is they're looking for a specific toad. The toad is called the Bufo marinus. Now, I'm going to Google this live. Bufo marinus. The Bufo marinus, wow. It's a cane toad. The cane toad, also known as the giant neotropical toad or marine toad, is a large terrestrial two-toed native to South and mainland Central America, but which had been introduced it looks like it was in Australia, Oceania, Caribbean. So I guess it's also the Bufo marinus. Like they didn't make this up, but They're saying it's extinct here. Is Bufo marinus a frog? It's a large terrestrial frog. I don't know. The fact is it's a real thing. So I thought that was interesting. I thought maybe they made it up, but it seems to be real. And this is what they need to do. It secretes something from its sweat glands that cures athlete's foot. That's the gross thing. He's got to rub toad sweat on his feet. That is what I'm, that's the story that we're dealing with here. So they go, they try to catch one. They're like, but Marty's like, watch out. You know, these animals might not be used to people. I mean, Doc said this, and Marty right away is almost suffocated by a boa constrictor that's completely wrapped around him. But Doc tickles his the snake's chin, and the snake goes away. Then they have other animals coming at them, all kinds of different animals. But they need to head more into the jungle. And the way that they can attract them is through this tuning fork. Now, remember that. Tuning fork, okay? That's important for scientific reasons, we'll say. So if you can hit this tuning fork, it goes to a specific tone that is inaudible. I was thinking of the word. Inaudible to humans, but the toad is attracted to it, the frog, whatever the hell it is. So he hits his tuning fork, and these frogs come out of the woodwork like crazy. And they're like, this is great. So then Doc gives Marty a gun. And I'm like, wait, what? But we see that this gun just shoots nets. So they go to shoot a net, and it doesn't hit toad. Instead, it hits two guys, conquistadors. Sorry, I'm like looking at my screen at the same time. Actually, there's three of them. One of them, of course, is like the Spanish conquistador version of Biff. He's some sort of Tannin. His name is Biff. Bifando de la Tannin. So there's a Tannin in every culture, in every timeline. Biff Tannin is such a petri dish of DNA. Like, if he went to 23andMe, they would say, we found a match. How many? 6 billion people. Oh, my goodness. And they're all Tannins. So anyway, they catch them in a net. You think they're going to kill them. But instead, they're like, we're just here looking for a toe. We're sorry. We didn't mean to cause anything. They're like, oh, you know what? Okay, we'll let you go. Really? Yeah, you can go. And they're like, boss, why did you let him go? He goes, because they're looking for the lost city of gold, and we're going to track them, and that's how we're going to find it, which I think is El Dorado. Isn't that the lost city of gold? But okay, they're heading for the lost city of gold. Instead, they get caught by a bunch of Incas. So we see a lot of Incan warriors with spears, and they get taken to an Incan temple. I think it's Incan. Not Blinken or Nod. I think it's just Incan. And now Biff is like following them there. So this is some crazy stuff going on here. Because now they're with the Incas. And this is kind of funny because the guy talking here just reminds me of Burt Lancaster. Like he has some sort of Burt Lancaster. And I only know that because of an impression I saw Bill Hader do of Burt Lancaster. Look up Bill Hader Oyster Crackers. Look that one up. They are brought in, and it looks like they're going to be sentenced to death. See, finally we get death back in our cartoon. So this pit opens up, and it's filled with all those frogs. And Marty's like, what's the matter? Doc, these frogs are, you know, they just secrete sweat. He goes, yeah, a little bit of it, it will help with athlete's foot. But too much of it is lethal, and it's going to kill them all. So they're all nervous that the frog is going to kill them. Then, I guess before they go, they start playing music. And this is where I get a little uncomfortable with what I'm seeing. Marty starts dancing around, which is fine, but there's three guys playing music. One of them has, and I'm going to say they're all people of color. One of them has this long horn or something. It's one has like two pipes that it's blowing into. But there's one dude playing drums. And he's got giant, giant buck teeth. And it does not sit well with me. It looks really strange. And they're dancing around. And Marty's dancing around. But while Marty's dancing, Doc takes part of one of the horns, takes a button, blows the horn, and knocks his tuning fork that makes the frogs go crazy. But then he's able to they think he can control the frogs. They think Marty can control the frogs from the dancing. So they start worshiping Marty for a few minutes. And then the conquistadors come in and they're like, look, all we want to do is, you know, get out of here. They're like, no, you're coming with us. Then Doc hits the tuning fork again and the frogs attack these men. Now we realize if too many frogs attack these men, they'll die. I don't know if they'll die, but one of they run away. Bifondo gets thrown into the moat, which then gets thrown over a waterfall, but they do show him emerge, so he isn't killed, even though part of me kind of thought he would be. And then they're like, you guys are free to go. They're like, great, can we take one of these frogs with us? Sure. And they just head back, and while they're on the way back, Marty is rubbing his feet with one of the frogs. And that's it. I mean, we are 14 minutes into this episode. That went from, 14. It ended about 14:08. It started at about 2. So that's a 12-minute segment. That is it. A shorter episode because there's two segments in this episode of the series. So we then cut back to the live-action Doc Brown, and he is talking about tuning forks. Really, that is it. Tuning forks and sound waves. So he shows that if you hit a tuning fork, you can see how it shows up on this, I don't know, is that an oscilloscope? That's oscilloscope, I think is what it says. And it picks up sound waves. And then he has Bill Nye come in, the silent assassin, Bill Nye, science guy, who shows how you can make sound waves by taking a wine glass, putting water in it, dipping your finger in, and then wiping the rim to make different sounds. And that's how you get sound waves. And how do you hear them? They show a fancy, inner ear to show what an ear tube, an eardrum looks like. And I guess those frogs have giant they have very sensitive eardrums, which I guess is true. So maybe the part of this is factually based. I don't know. But it shows then Doc blowing a dog whistle back in back in his laboratory. And the dog whistle, I guess, was to show, like, look, there's different sounds that people can't hear. And you hear dogs barking in the background. Maybe one of them's Einstein. But the only thing that I care about here, number one, I wish that Scott Howard would show up. If you know who Scott Howard is, that's Teen Wolf. That's Michael J. Fox's character in Teen Wolf, who was very much affected by a dog whistle in the movie. You should watch it. But the only thing that I care about is behind Doc in this setting, in the workshop, is the DeLorean. We see Out of Time. We see the license plate. We see the big fans, the vents on the back, the exhausts. And that's really it. We don't see the full car. And the car lights up and turn, and we see a little smoke come up, but we don't see it drive away. So I don't know if that was a full car or not. But now we're at 16 minutes in the episode, and there are still, there's only 7 minutes left completely. And that includes the opening, the end credits. So then we jump to a shorter segment called Einstein's Adventures. It was written by Alex Hirschlag and directed by Phil Robinson. Again, yes, it was part of the same episode. So November 2nd, 1991. I don't know why. I don't know if there's more of these. If there's Einstein's next adventure. But I kind of enjoy this. It was a little silly, but it was a fun, short little adventure. So Doc goes to the gas station and fills up his gas tank. Actually, he's having Einstein, the dog, fill up the gas station. Einstein wears these gloves that have full hands with opposable thumbs so he can do all kinds of fancy stuff. So he fills the gas tank. They go then to the hardware store, and Doc's favorite place, the hardware store. Doc goes in. While that's happening, Einstein just curls up in the back seat. He doesn't want to go in the hardware store. At the same time, the Hill Valley Savings and Loan has been robbed by these two dopey bank thieves who you can see their faces. They're not wearing masks. They're just I don't think they even wore masks. Nope, they're just complete idiots. And they're so dumb that each of them thought the other one brought the getaway car. So they realize, we need a car. There's a car, quick. They jump in that hunk of junk, the DeLorean, and they're ready to go. And they're like, where are we going? And no, they go, how much money did you get? And the other dude goes, one of them is named Sydney. He goes, how much money did you get? He goes, we got $17.90, Sydney. And that, remember, the time circuits are voice activated. So all of a sudden it's at 1790 Sydney, Australia. Einstein notices this. He barks. The guys freak out. They start going so fast that they hit 88 and they time travel back to 1790 Sydney, Australia. What I did like about this was, first of all, the art of these guys remind me of like something you'd see in Ren and Stimpy. But they, while they're traveling back in time, you get a brief moment of the present time and 1790 Sydney. You get like a moment of like the in between, the actual time travel, and it's black, all black, but you see like a couple clocks, and you see it looks like a bust of Einstein, maybe the actual scientist or Beethoven or something. I don't know. You see an hourglass, and then boom, flash, and they're in 1790 Australia. Einstein gets thrown from the car, lands near a kangaroo who's tied up. I don't know the story there. He frees the kangaroo, and then the two guys can't control the car. They drive the car directly into a prison. Oh, I'm sorry. They start pressing buttons to try to figure out what's going on, and it turns out they turn on the auto, groomer that shaves them and gives them hot towels. They press another button, and this like assistant comes on and says, hi, Dr. Brown, you're in 1790 Australia. It used to be a prison colony. They're like, prison? And then all of a sudden they drove right into a prison. Like, wow, this is the first time that we've ever had prisoners show up and drive into the prison. And we got another Tannen, Mungo P. Tannen, who works at the prison. Like, Thomas F. Wilson is working overtime just playing all these different characters. So these guys show up at the prison like, great, you're here. They're trapped in the prison now. So I don't know how they must have they followed the tire tracks. The kangaroo brought Einstein back to the prison. He breaks in. He goes to steal the car. And the guys are like, look, he's trying. That dog's trying to steal the car. Let's go. So he runs. They run after the car, holding their ball and chain. Please, please take us. And Einstein's like, no. He's like, "Ruff, you bitches, no." But then they go, please, we'll even go back to prison. And he goes, okay. And he lets them go. You know, there's some hilarity ensues with Mungo P. Tannen, who gets like knocked around. But he drives them directly right back to the police station. They get bumped out of the car right into the hands of two officers, and then the DeLorean backs up about 10 feet right in front of the hardware store. Doc comes out and he's like, I hope I wasn't too long. And then he gets in the car and finds out that the car is out of gas. He's like, we just filled it. Oh, this car has terrible gas mileage because it used it all in Australia. Einstein smiles, and then we get the very end. But here's the thing that bothers me now. And again, it's a cartoon. It's a dumb cartoon. Logic doesn't matter. But I'm going to bring some logic into it anyway. These two idiots robbed the bank across the street from the hardware store. The hardware store that is right next door to the police department. So the police department is across from the bank, and these idiots robbed it without any plan, without any car. Now, they were idiots. But I underestimated how big of idiots they were. And that's it. That's it, my friend. So we are dog sitting. I have two dogs here now. But they are enjoying Back to the Future, the cartoon. So I will be watching it with them again tomorrow and probably also on Sunday as well. It's a weekend of cartoons. But once Monday hits, we're going to mix it up again. You know what's coming probably again on Monday. But who knows? There might be something else in there. In the meantime, we'll see. But we've done 8 days. 8 days down, over a week. A week ago at this time, I was still in Florida. But now we're back to I wouldn't say winter. It's like right at the end of winter. Spring is right around the corner. We moved the clocks up, so I'm losing an hour of Marty McFly, but I do it every year. But I'm gaining an hour of sunlight. We all are here in the East Coast, so I'm very thrilled about that. All right, friends, I'm done here. Listen, you can, well, I guess everyone's gaining an hour across the country, except those weird places that don't change the time. I never understand that. Listen. Okay. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. And you can find every episode of this and every other podcast I do at fans.experts.com. And if you like watching or listening to things through YouTube or YouTube Music or whatever, go to YouTube, search Fans Not Experts, and find everything we do there as well. So that's it. I'm done. I had a wonderful evening with my wife at this film festival. I won a Michael Myers Funko Pop. I'm dog sitting, so I got two dogs here, and I'm talking about Back to the Future, the cartoon. Life doesn't get much better than this. All right, my friends, I am done. Happy Friday. I'll see you tomorrow. And until then, here is my theme song. This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Because I'm kind of funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kind of handsome, my mom says. Please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode. Fans Not Experts.